President Obama made this promise in January that he was going to create this mortgage fraud task force that was supposed to bring the criminals of 2008 to justice. And what we've seen since then is it seems to be election year PR play.
Alexis Goldstein, once a technology specialist involved in the development of complex stock derivatives, now known to have contributed to the 2008 financial crisis, is now an Occupy activist demanding accountability. Natasha Leonard, a writer for Truthout and Salon.com, says that the movement should not focus too closely on Wall Street.
My resistance to jail the bankers or effort being put behind that slogan would be that I think there are more urgent, important, and life-affirming things that we can build affinities around and build actions around than a kind of head of the roll attitude that may or may not cause some form of moderate reform.
Liliana Segura, an editor at Nation magazine, where she writes on prisons, harsh sentencing, and the criminal justice system, and a board member of the campaign to end the death penalty, goes further and says that prisons are a way for the system to maintain social inequality.
More than 90% of criminal cases never go to trial. We have this idea that when you're charged with something, you're tried by a jury of your peers, and it's this kind of romantic notion of American justice, and that sounds great in theory, but the reality is more than 90% of criminal cases never go to trial. People who are hauled into courthouses around the country are encouraged to plea bargain. Explicitly, that means an admission of guilt. So the system is set up in such a way so that the vast majority of people who are facing criminal charges plead guilty and admit to charges that they might have avoided.
For Andy Stepanian, an animal rights activist who was labeled a terrorist and thrown with Muslims in a communication management unit, literally a secret administrative jail, some prisons are used to criminalize dissent, but others have become the equivalent of labor camps for corporate profit.
In the late 90s, the prison industrial complex was the second largest growing industry in the United States. And what I learned about the GEO company, which is the people that made the concrete footprint for the prison I was in, it was like a kit almost, like an erector set, in the woods of North Carolina, it matched the way the buildings are created in Malaysia and elsewhere, where they run these slave wage labor camps for things like garments or small electronics. They're actually creating institutions there with a factory and dormitory settings.
But electoral politics promote a tough-on-crime ideology, which obscures the shocking reality of human incarceration. And according to Liliana Segura, a more practical approach to ending the prison industrial complex may be necessary.
Beginning in the 70s, partly as a backlash to the civil rights era, and as part of the war on drugs, we have sentences getting longer and longer and longer. And this continues, and we now have these elderly prisoners who have no business being behind bars, but the politics are such that it's just nearly impossible to release them. And so part of the reason reform is now a mainstream topic is that it's become so expensive to keep people locked up for so long. And so we have these prisoners who are aging to the point where it's becoming just untenable, impossible. It's bankrupting states. You know, California is a perfect example of this.
For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.